What's happening, Aaron?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Ready to talk? You ready to talk bears?
Oh, I like bears. I'm ready to talk bears.
You ever seen a black bear?
I have seen a black bear in the Great Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, how big was it?
I don't know. I mean, it's the black bears aren't that big compared to other types of bears, like grizzly bears or brown bears or polar bears or Kodiak bears. Brown bears tend to be smaller than
Like little gerbils.
Well, they're not like little gerbils. They can be pretty big too.
They get probably when they're on their hind legs, they can get to be close to the size of a small person
or a big person.
A big person too.
Yeah. I mean, if they stood up, I mean, some of them could reach maybe 2 meters,
right?
Something like that.
So, did you have the urge to give one of them a bear kiss?
A bear hug? Or bear kiss? No, neither. Neither one.
Wrestle a bear?
Wrestle a bear? No, thank you. No. But they say if you're ever attacked by a black bear, you should fight back. You have a better chance of coming out of the encounter alive if you fight back. But with a brown bear or a larger species, it's better to play dead.
Cover up.
Yeah, cover up your neck, play dead.
Uh-huh.
You have a better chance of survival.
You think you could take a black bear?
I could take on a black bear, yeah. I wouldn't want to, but I could.
I think you're just supposed to make a lot of noise.
Well, I think if a black bear appears threatening, I think you're supposed to make yourself big. So if you're wearing a jacket, you should take off your jacket and hold it up into the air over your head and back away very slowly and keep a very calm sort of demeanor, speak to the bear in very soft tones.
Look at you. You're like Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, and then very gently back away. But make yourself appear big because their eyesight is poor. And you'll look like a big animal
Just making this up off the top of your head?
I'm totally making this up off the top of my head. No, actually, I've read about this because I hike in black bear country all the time.
What kind of bears they have around here?
Black bears.
Black bears.
Yeah, Japanese black bears. Yeah.
Right.
So, but yeah, you should, but if you ever are attacked, you should fight. Never run.
Right.
Never run.
Right.
Yeah. But hopefully you can avoid being attacked by making yourself appear large.
So what do you think about this whole pro bear camp that believes we should commune with bears?
I think I have mixed feelings about it.
Uh-huh.
On the one hand, I think it's good to respect animals and treat them with kindness. On the other hand, I think if you condition a wild animal to be comfortable around human beings by feeding it and showing it lots of affection, you could be putting other people in danger who may not have the same energy or vibes that you do. And it's just an accident waiting to happen.
Well, here's an interesting fact.
Yeah.
In the last, since 1900, so what is that, 118 years, 70 people have been killed in North America by black bears.
How many people?
70.
And how many years?
118 years.
Only 70.
Well, you say only 70.
Yeah.
So you're attaching a judgment there.
Well, I would guess higher than that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So how does that make you feel about communing with bears now that you know only, as you put it, only 70 have been killed?
Well, I would say I wouldn't want to be one of those 70.
Well, you know, I bet more people died from apples falling on their heads.
Or coconuts.
Well, there's not too many coconuts. I guess Florida, does Florida have coconuts?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah.
I bet that, you know, according to Lynn Rogers, there are, you know, millions of bears.
Uh-huh.
And so 70 deaths, that's...
It's minimal.
Yeah.
Minimal.
I mean, yeah. Compared with how many people do you think humans have killed in
America? They kill every day in 118 years, in the United States.
They're probably killing more than 70 every day.
Yeah, you're much more likely to be killed by a human than a bear.
Yeah.
But we don't encounter bears that frequently. We counter humans all the time. So I wonder what the statistics are on that, like in terms of, you know, number of encounters per deaths.
Right.
So maybe it's, maybe bears are more dangerous in some ways.
But yeah. Maybe they haven't been tamed. They would be more tamed.
You're talking about humans or bears?
Bears.
Well, I think most bears don't want to have anything to do with humans.
But it seems like they do in this town of Eagle's Nest.
Well, that's probably because they're being fed.
Yeah, but they seem to want to have a relationship.
Okay.
So like this bear this guy Jeff, he said, you know, he was mowing his lawn and he had never fed the bear before.
Uh-huh.
The bear came and just sat down and just watched him mow the lawn.
And waiting for food. And eventually he fed the bear, did he not?
It changed his life. It was like bear therapy for him. You know, he had all these fears.
Yeah.
And yeah, he became a new man.
Yeah, well, is he still alive?
Yeah.
He is, okay.
Yes, and he has stopped. Well, I don't think he stopped feeding the bears, but he stopped befriending bears.
Okay.
Out of respect for his neighbors.
Okay.
Because he understands fear so deeply that he understands it's not something you can just turn off.
Okay.
It's not something his neighbors can just turn off.
Right, but he's not the first bear aficionado or self-proclaimed bear lover that has ever existed. And there have been some that have been eaten by the bears they proclaim to love.
Who told you that?
Who told me that? That's a very common story. Like, there's a recent story within the last, like, I don't know, 15 to 20 years of a guy somewhere out in the western part of the United States, or maybe it was Alaska, who had, you know, befriended bears.
Are you talking about like Grizzly Man?
Yeah, maybe the Grizzly Man or the guy that got eaten with his girlfriend.
Yeah, but that
by
was
the bears.
That was a grizzly.
Yeah, that's a grizzly.
That's
bear.
A different.
But it's a bear. It's still a bear.
Not really.
Yes. It is definitely a bear. It's just a bigger bear.
In name only. It's really.
It's a hamster.
It's really like
a
dragon.
Hamster, right?
It's really like a dragon. That's interesting. Lynn Rogers actually said that he thinks it's all a myth that was created over, you know, the last few hundred years to make hunters look stronger.
What is a myth?
That bears are dangerous.
Oh, that bears are dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's specifically talking about black bears. He probably wouldn't recommend that you go kiss a grizzly.
Right.
But he thinks that part of this myth is just to feed the ego of hunters.
That could be. Yeah. What about you? Have you ever encountered a bear?
Just in the zoo.
Just in the zoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that was interesting was that both sides in this town,
uh-huh.
you know, the pro-bear people and the anti-bear people, they both had a point.
Mm-hmm.
They both had, you know, different sides or different, you know, somewhat correct views on reality.
Yeah.
And, but yet neither of them were willing to budge.
Yeah.
I think that Kelly, the guy who, you know, had all these fears, he came the closest to
uh-huh.
kind of understanding the other side.
Yeah.
Even though he disagreed with it.
Right.
And I think that they had all presented their cases, you know, pretty clearly
mm-hmm.
that, okay, yes, it's only been 70 deaths, but, you know, that's 70 too many.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be my kid.
Right.
That gets, that becomes 71.
Yeah.
But, you know, from Roger's point of view, that's ridiculous. You know, like you said, even though there's no coconuts growing in America, you're probably more likely.
Right.
There's probably been right. more coconut deaths.
Right.
In the U.S.
Of course.
So they both do have true but contradictory angles or perspectives on reality.
Mm, yeah.
And I think that was one of the threads going through this core audio lesson is that we have trouble holding contradictory truths.
Yeah.
And you know, the other story was yeah, I don't know if those people have any realistic slice of reality.
Well, it's I found that interesting in some ways, in the sense that
flat earthers.
Yeah, the flat earthers, the people who believe that the earth is flat. It's like part of that belief is actually connected to their identity as a group and as a community. So it's like if you hold that belief, you're sharing something with a group of people that makes you unique. It makes you who you are in a way. It sort of defines your community. So it's much harder to give that up, because it's not just giving up a belief. You're giving up an entire experience, an entire community, an entire way of life in a way. Relationships and everything. Like,
I think
almost as if it's a cult.
I think that's part of part of what makes cults seductive, or conspiracy theories seductive, is that you feel you're on the cutting edge, or you're on the forefront of a mystery that nobody else understands except for your tribe.
Yeah.
And it really, like you said, it becomes part of your identity.
Yeah.
As do things like politics and political beliefs and religious beliefs and all these kind of what you could call a core belief that we find so hard to give up when we're presented with contradictory evidence.
Right.
So that's the idea behind the backfire effect.
Yeah.
They've shown it with people's political views. Mm-hmm. How not so much that they won't accept the facts. In some situations they might internalize those facts, but they won't change their opinion.
And they dig in their heels further.
Yeah.
And get really defensive.
So you might be able to take global warming is one of these hot button issues that people really take to heart, and it becomes part of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you present them with some information like for example, now there's the polar ice caps are melting, mm-hmm. and there are parts of northern Europe that polar bears are losing their habitats.
Right. They're coming into towns looking for food. Yeah.
So there are people that don't believe in global warming who might accept that and say, okay, you've showed me some evidence that I believe that, but my opinion about global warming is the same. It's not man-made. That's from some other cause.
Right.
Or it's a cyclical warming of the earth.
Right.
That's what they've shown in these psychological studies, that it's not that they refuse to accept evidence. It just doesn't sway their opinion or their attitude or their actions.
Yeah. So what about you? Do you buy any conspiracy theories that are out there? For example, one of the conspiracy theories is that, mankind, has actually never landed on the moon. That's a whole conspiracy that was do you buy that?
That we've never landed on the moon?
Yeah, that it's just a hoax.
No, I'm not a believer in that.
You're not a believer. I don't buy that either.
No.
I don't buy that either. How about 9/11, that it was an inside job? Do you believe that conspiracy theory?
I find it unlikely.
You find it
but
unlikely.
I don't completely discount it.
Why is that?
I guess I just don't put anything past the government.
I see. But see, I have a specific piece of evidence that I've seen from that whole event that leads me to believe that we don't know the whole truth of what happened.
Uh-huh.
And that's the building number 7.
Okay.
That fell on its own footprint at the speed of gravity.
Uh-huh.
There's video footage of it.
Uh-huh.
This is a 40-some story building.
Yeah.
Made of, reinforced steel and
but
concrete.
But there are engineers, loads of them, who say that is not unusual. And you're not an engineer.
No, I'm not. When I see that, it just doesn't add up to me.
Okay, but I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could see that don't make any sense. Like, do you know how, could you explain how a toilet works?
Yes, yes, I can.
Yes,
yes, I can.
What about a microwave oven?
Yeah, you push the button and it heats up the food. It's very easy.
So
Dan.
The point the point is, you don't understand a lot of things that go on, but you rely on the opinions of experts.
Yeah.
If some scientists were to give you a little 5-minute baby breakdown of how a microwave oven worked, you probably wouldn't be like, "Hey, wait a second. That's not how radiation works." You'd be like, "Okay, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about."
That's true. I'm not saying that I'm a conspiracy theorist, but there are, like you said, there is cause for doubt. That's all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Yeah.
But my point is that so much of our understanding of the world is very thin.
Yeah.
Is a very thin layer, and we just accept what authorities tell us.
Yeah.
We just don't have the time to become an expert in nuclear power and global warming and how toilets work.
Right.
And So we have to specialize. We can't know everything.
Right.
But we selectively choose to disbelieve some experts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we might selectively decide that we don't agree that there are hundreds of engineers that have said that, no, that's perfectly possible for a building to fall that way because of whatever the amount of heat that was generated from that plane hitting the building.
No, we're talking about Building 7. We're not talking about
the bears.
The towers. The towers. The twin towers. No, we're talking about Building 7. It wasn't hit by a plane.
Oh, okay.
It fell on its own footprint at the speed of gravity.
Okay.
It's highly unlikely that it would do that unless it were engineered to do that. Yeah. So that's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you're a truther.
I'm not a truther. I'm just saying there's like a little cause for doubt there. That's all.
Explain to everyone what your people, the so-called truthers, as you call yourself.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about joining the flat earthers.
Yeah.
Why not? Might be some nice people in there.
Yeah?
Yeah, you never know. It could be a very nice community.
Like Mad Mike.
Yeah, Mad Mike.
He sounds like a good dude.
Sounds like a good guy to hang out with.
There's actually a conspiracy about Mad Mike that he doesn't actually believe in Flat Earth, and he's just doing it for fun.
Just
a publicity hound.
Yeah, why not?
Some Flat Earth earthers are making a conspiracy about him.
Yeah.
So no one's immune.
Wow. No conspiracy theories that you think are plausible at all?
No, I think that there is some unexplained mysteries to 9/11.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm not convinced that the official story is the whole story.
Okay, so but outside of 9/11, there's no other...
Outside of 9/11. I don't know. Name some conspiracies.
Well, about your beard?
What about it? That it's all-knowing? If I shave it, I'll melt?
Exactly. You believe that?
Well, that's what people say. That's what my cats have been telling me.
Yeah, have been whispering
to me.
Absolutely.
So the backfire effect is that that the more evidence we hear, the more we not only is it not effective, it makes us believe our original beliefs even stronger.
Sure, it makes them stronger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kind of like that.
The backfire? That's my nickname, the backfire man.
Backfire Campbell. You don't change your opinion very easily.
Really? You found that to be true?
Yeah. Wouldn't you agree?
No, not necessarily.
See, there you go right there. I showed you 100% rock solid proof.
There you go. There's the evidence. That's right. You've debunked that conspiracy theory.
Actually, some of these psychologists, they wrote a debunking handbook.
Uh-huh.
And,
how to debunk theories.
Yes, how to debunk so to avoid the backfire effect.
Ah, okay.
And
they're really on the ball.
Yeah, some of the techniques include it's sort of basic psychology. Don't focus on what the other person believes that is wrong, but rather focus on what is right.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah.
And to try to build some common ground, because a lot of times when there are especially political or religious arguments, there's a tribal element. It's like my tribe against your tribe. Right. My tribe believes this, has this identity. So to try to find some common ground first, for example, if you're talking to some very politically conservative person who doesn't believe in global warming and feels that it hurts business, and you know, first maybe you want to stroke their ego a little bit about how, yes, the free market and creating businesses is good for society, but we don't have to do it in a way that hurts the environment.
Right.
So to kind of try to talk around instead of going straight at, you're wrong.
Yeah, right. Common ground is always good to find.
Yeah.
Just in any relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I met you, man. We found some common ground.
That's right. Common ground. We broke bread. And,
that's right.
Yeah. Built bridges.
We built many bridges.
Got any other cliches? All right. On that note, let's bring this to an end.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you next month.